Hi, today's August 13, 2017. This is Mobile News Podcast number 217. I'm Todd Ogasawara with my... Well, actually, John Westfall isn't here, so my good friend John Westfall isn't here. But instead, we have another All-Hawaii panel this week. Last week, we had Paul Lawler and Ricky Lee. Paul is not available this week, but Ricky is. And we added Ryan Ozawa, I should say the legendary Ryan Ozawa, podcaster legend, pioneer, and old friend. He's been on before. So I wanted to start off with something you talked about last week, though, Ricky. Oh, first, just say hello. Hi, Ricky.
Hello, I'm back.
And hi, Ryan.
Welcome back, Ricky. I'm happy to be here. I am no Paul Lawler. I am. I know Paul Lawler, and I know I am no Paul Lawler, but I'll do my best.
Wait, are we still boycotting Hawaii? I'm not sure.
We're boycotting Hawaii. Why are we boycotting Hawaii?
That's like a month and a half ago.
Okay. No. Well, he holds the @Hawaii name, so
oh, yeah, of course.
People were boycotting him, right?
Oh, that's right. I remember that. We actually discussed that when Ryan was on last time. Yeah. That was...
See, I'm good at callbacks.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, if you go on Twitter and many other social networks, you will find Ryan Ozawa as Hawaii. So on Twitter, he is twitter.com/Hawaii. He is not the state government. He is not the tourist bureau. He is a private individual with the name Twitter handle Hawaii, which is awesome.
It's fun.
Anyway, a thing I wanted to mention, bring back from last week is Ricky mentioned the Gnar box, GNARBOX, which is kind of a small little box that he bought to deal with images because he's, amongst other things, a professional photographer. To manage him while traveling. And my old friend Kim Bridges, who's been on this podcast before, said that he had bought that a while back also. And he bought it to transfer images and view them while traveling, and to basically to carry it instead of a laptop. He was trying to get it to work with his Android Pixel tablet. But for whatever reason, he said that it's too hard to get the tablet to do it right and couldn't get to work, and it's too hard to scroll through images, and he's just kind of put the Gnar box away until it gets some kind of firmware or software update. So Ricky, have you been playing with it more, and is it slow? Is it worth for, Kim to try it again? Or
I think you should try it again, but they are heavily iOS, not dependent, but... They slant heavily iOS, so that might be it. I haven't really tried it on my Pixel XL. I know it works on the Android, but because I'm on the beta for Android O,
yeah,
I've been getting weird problems with programs anyway, so I didn't want to add that into factor. So
right, that's
it
not
could
fair.
Be that. I think I would say give it a try again with iOS, but I don't know.
So basically,
I don't know. They're very beta.
Yeah, so basically instead of using a Pixel tablet, maybe use an iPad Pro or iPad Air 2 or something like that.
Or even an old iPhone.
Yeah. So have you been using...
Why wouldn't you just get like a cheap Windows laptop?
Well...
A tablet is what? $400, $500, $600? That's laptop territory.
Yeah. Well, I think you know Kim Bridges, don't you, Ryan?
One of those lucky people who's decided to do things the hard way, yes.
No. Kim never goes cheap. So he did exactly what you said, except when with a cheap laptop, he bought a Surface Pro.
Yeah, I feel like when I use the Gnar box, I'm the 1% of users that are using it more professionally than it should be used, and it'll be great if you're just a... weekend, what do they call that? Ski slope bomber who just wants to, do a really great highlight reel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm actually waiting for the next OS to come out or the next... Yeah, yes, it is a BIOS. The next BIOS to come out before I do a review just because it seems like some of the stuff I've been complaining about are fixed in the next beta. So I'm like, all right, I'll just wait.
Nice. Mm. And to refresh our memories, can you describe the Gnar box again? Basic size and what it does and that sort of thing?
It's an external hard drive looking thing. It's about the size of a 3.5-inch hard drive.
Okay.
It's ruggedized, it's waterproof, it's dustproof. But the selling point is you can slap your GoPro cards, camera cards, into the thing. It'll ingest it and then give you a quick way to edit your videos, pictures, while on the move without needing a laptop.
I see. Yeah, so it really, you know, if your goal is not to carry a laptop, it does sound like, and it has a display, I think, right, you said?
Nope.
Oh, it doesn't?
It's all on your phone.
Okay, yeah. Or your phone or tablet.
Yeah, they're specific phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it definitely sounds like something that could be a useful tool, but I'm kind of surprised. You said it's really not focused or targeting the professional or semi-professional photographer? It's meant for more the weekend photographer?
That's what it seems like. I've now been using it for about 2.5-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
There are features that I would expect a professional level thing to have, like titling. They don't have it. Transitions would be nice, but right now it's just all jump cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, exporting anything over 10 minutes will kill the box.
Ooh.
So I've been cutting it and then just assembling it on my device.
Right.
You know, making like 3-5 minute segments.
Right.
Downloading it and then stick that together. So I've been working around it, but yeah, like I don't know if anyone would watch a 10-minute video, but you know, I found its limits.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so anyway, I just wanted to catch up with that since Kim shot over some comments to me since he's been playing with it for a while also. Okay, next up then is something I wanted to mention since I've always been interested in testing my broadband speeds and seeing what other people get and that sort of thing. And so Speedtest, which many of you probably know, it's part of Ookla or Ookla's product. They have this new thing called the Speedtest Global Index, which shows a global ranking. Now, there's a whole bunch of global rankings for speed. In this particular one, the U.S. is number 46 and falling. And in mobile, and it is number 9 in holding steady in fixed broadband. Now, the thing that kind of bothered me, and I don't have it up in front of me at the moment, but I seem to recall the U.S. Fixed wired broadband number was some phenomenal number, like 73 megabits per second down. And
what?
Right? I know, right? I mean, that's cray cray. Yeah. So what I think they're doing, like a boost rate, and instead of sustained average, and because let's say you have a 100 megabit per second, it'll pop up that pretty high initially,
yeah.
And then it'll settle down to some high number.
And it's I've always found that the test to be a little unreliable because. You know, you have local test servers here in Hawaii, which is great. You know, my connection speed to LavaNet could be 200 megabits per second.
Yeah.
But that by no means represents the speed of me getting off the island.
Right. Well, that brings up a whole nother topic, though. We won't debate, but I'll just give you my point of view. I won't argue further than that. And that, you know, so there are a lot of different ways to look at what your, and by your I mean your individual broadband speed is. To me, you know, what the first thing you want to measure though is the local loop, exactly what you're saying, you know, go to a local server. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a fair assessment of, you know, whoever your ISP is, they say, you know, I'm paying this much for up to, you know, 100 megabits per second, let's say.
Right.
And if I can get sustained, you know, 85, 90 megabits per second, I'm pretty happy with that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Do I expect that when I go to a remote site on the mainland, since we're in Hawaii, you know, going under the submarine cable and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, multiple routers and gateways and this, that, and the other thing? No, I don't. And plus, it's depending on what the server on the other side has, too, right? You might have a slow link. Might still have a T1. I mean, it'd be weird, but
completely
how many,
fair.
How many Hawaii sites are you visiting, though? Wouldn't the vast majority of sites that a connected first world Hawaii resident be visiting be based on the mainland?
It depends what you mean, which server. So, for example, if you go to Netflix, and if you're on, I think Hawaii.
Yeah, they have a local
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So if you're on Hawaiian Telecom, yeah. I know they have a local server. I don't know if Ocean, if Charter, used to be Time Warner Cable, has one.
Mm-hmm.
But there are caches, right? And even for websites, there are, you know, there are caching systems. Akamai, for example.
Yeah, so I know that actually with the change to Charter from Oceanic, they've mm-hmm. been actually moving more of their stuff that used to have local peers back to back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, so that's true.
Getting worse as they switch to Charter. But I do know that there are, like even the Internet Exchange over at DR Fortress by the airport, they've got boxes there for Netflix, Facebook, Apple Music, and a lot of that stuff is coming from a local connection. I guess what I was saying, though, is when you're testing your connection, you might be visiting, I don't know, The Verge or you know, Slashdot and stuff, and those are probably less likely to be cached locally.
Right, yeah, right. On the other hand, and again, it depends on who your ISP is and what they decide to cache, and you know, if they have Akamai or one of those kind of cache servers on there. But if you're going to one of the big sites, you're going to, you know, CNN or something, even though it's dynamic, they're probably caching a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say. And you know, again, if you go to various sites, and you know, I won't point fingers, but some sites are really slow. Not because they don't have bandwidth, but because they have, you know, so much JavaScript junk running in the background and so many ad banners and all of those kind of things. So
yeah,
the perceived speed and the measured speed are also two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ricky just typed in something in the show notes, I think.
Yeah, it just popped into my head. There's a new undersea cable coming in, apparently.
Yeah.
The Hawaiian Telecable.
Yeah, C-US. Yeah, they own a percentage of that. Yeah, that should be interesting. I'm not sure how much of the bandwidth they have accessible for Hawaii.
But that was my next question.
Yeah. But yeah. The total package is like 20 terabits per second, I think.
Yeah, back in the day, the company I work for, used to do the social media for PTC, the Pacific Telecommunications Council thing. So those undersea cable maps, I saw them all the time.
Yeah.
And the only thing, not only thing, but one of the things that stuck in my head, little piece of trivia, sharks attack fiber optic cables and they don't know why.
There are a lot of strange things with undersea cables that I learned about as I was doing a lot of broadband stuff a couple of years ago.
I can say that my cat likes my charging cable.
And you know,
you can try that stuff that makes things bitter, like that's on the Nintendo cartridges.
I did. I tried that. I dipped them in it. I soaked them in it. They just like chewing on them. Wow. I think they might actually be after the electric charge or something.
Wow.
But my cats aren't the brightest cats in the world.
That's pretty bad. You know, and a kind of a trivia note while we're on undersea cables before we move on is there was a very old AT&T submarine cable that was retired, oh gosh, must be over 10 years now. And I think the University of Hawaii got a grant to buy the cable, and they're using it as for communications to an underwater observatories now. Anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that the Aloha Station?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we'll see how that new cable works out. I mean, for me, it won't make much of a difference because I'm not on Hawaiian Telecom's DSL or fiber. So, you know, I don't know. Are they reselling to other ISPs? I don't know. It would make sense.
I think that they probably will do some peering like that.
Yeah.
I'm on Hawaiian, but I'm on old copper, so the fastest that they can get where I live is 10 megabits.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the problems with so Ryan's on copper and he's on DSL, and DSL is distance dependent. And in fact, it can't go beyond 17,000 feet or so. Or at least not well. So, you know, the further you get from the central office, basically the less likely you are to get a high speed. Now, if you're like 100 feet away from the office, you can get really fast speeds.
But, oh, yeah. I used to deploy these point-to-point DSL solutions that used bare copper. And, you know, if you were really close, you could almost get 100 megabits per second. But if you just cross the street, your speeds would drop to 5 megabits and lower. Exactly.
Yeah, we should mention that Ricky Lee is a, recovering network engineer.
Escaped network engineer.
Escaped network engineer.
Escaped.
The next item I wanted to mention is kind of near and dear to my heart, even though, you know, I used to work for a number of ad-based blogs and things, including when I was a full-time blogger. So I'm sensitive to the fact that, you know, folks need to have advertisements on their free websites so that they can pay their people and all of that. But there are some sites whose ads just go over the line. And, you know, you would think, well, you know, you shouldn't be visiting those sites. No, I'm not talking about weird sites. I'm talking about regular sites that, you know, the vast majority of people go to every day. And the interesting thing is apparently Google is now warning sites with what they call annoying advertisements that they need to stop doing that. And you say, well, you know, these are these, you know, fringe sites. Well, let's see. Depends what you consider fringe. One of them is Betty Crocker. Another is Forbes, which, you know, I like the content, but I stopped reading them because they're, even with ad blockers, they're annoying. New York Daily News, LA Times, TV Guide, Chicago Tribune, Lifehacker, ZDNet, who I used to actually do some writing for, PC Mag, and Orlando Sun, Washington Times, Chicago Sun-Times. You know, these are big-time sites. These aren't, these aren't like little tiny fringe sites. So, what? First of all, do you guys, you don't have to admit it if you don't want to. I will admit that I use an ad blocker.
Right.
I use a couple of different ones.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I use a couple of different ones, and I do turn them off if I find value in a site and I go to a site more than once.
Oh, no. If a site tells me I should turn off my ad blocker,
yeah,
I leave it on and I don't visit again.
Oh, that, I'm sorry. On that one, I'm the same. Yeah, if they do that, if they block me from blocking an ad blocker and not give me the chance to determine whether A, they're safe, and B, I like their content, then I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, unfortunately, Google is talking out of both sides of its mouth in this case because, of course, they generate all of their revenue from advertising.
Yeah, it's
so true. They're not saying, they're trying to say that we're going to save you. We're building ad blockers into Chrome, one of the most popular browsers that isn't Internet Explorer. We're going to help you improve your ad experience by warning sites and depreciating sites that have obnoxious ads. But, of course, our ads aren't obnoxious ads. And
no, of
our
course.
Ad. Are going to continue to show and display on these sites. So it's actually not them trying to preserve the internet experience. It's their intent to demolish the entire advertising market so that it's owned entirely by Google.
Well, I don't know if it's they want to be entirely owned by Google, though I would not, you know, say that's not true. But I would think that it's to preserve their ability to show ads. Because if they can't show ads, they can't make money, right? If everybody basically turns on blockers for everything, including Google ads. So I think they want to make the internet experience, the web browsing experience, I should say, a more pleasant one.
Yeah, but they're setting that standard.
Yeah.
So their standard is always going to be just above where their ads fit underneath.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
they're moving the bar.
I do have to say that the Google ads tend to be not as obnoxious as some of the other ads I've, you know, that have caused me to turn on the ad blockers. And even one of the ad blockers I use actually does allow a number of ads through. So if it's, I think, if it's a, not a native ad, like, not native content, but in a native ad, it's been generated by the site, the ad is being generated by the site, and it's not a third-party banner, I think it lets it through. Remember the Adblock Plus people, I think?
I think
if it follows those rules, it lets it through. So there are already, you know, other ad blockers that are kind of doing this. It's just that, like Ryan said, you know, Chrome, the browser, is the 800-pound gorilla. And since, you know, the majority of web viewing public on the desktop at least uses a Chrome browser. And once that is, if the ad blocking is turned on automatically for these alleged annoying advertisements, then, yeah, it's gonna cut it down. But, you know, a lot of these, and I haven't been to Chicago Sun-Times or LA Times without my ad blocker turned on, so I don't know how bad it is. But, you know, I don't go through those sites often enough to turn off my ad blocker.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds nice. Google's generally do no evil.
Yeah.
But then again, they do run YouTube, which has the 30-second ad on a 1-minute video. I don't know.
But I will say this, that, and again, this is, you know, this would, I guess, support Ryan's point, but because I ended up paying for Google Music, I automatically got YouTube Red, so I don't actually see those ads. I don't see the B-rolls.
Yeah, they get money for you one way or another. Either you're watching their ad or you're paying to get rid of the ad. Mm-hmm. They're smart cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a fair comment to me.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I have YouTube Red as well through the Google Music thing, so I hardly ever see ads. Although just once in a while when I'm watching it on one of my TV boxes and it loses the login, I know I lost the login because I'll be watching ads.
Yeah, you start seeing the...
So it's kind of a good indicator in a strange way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to go sign in on the Roku again.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to more Google stuff. So, okay, Ricky, you've had Google Fire for, what, a week or two now? What do you think?
I think when you... Okay, first of all, I discovered you have to activate Google Fi on a Pixel or a Google phone, but you don't have to keep the SIM card in the phone. You can move it to any other Android phone.
Oh, yeah.
It still works.
Actually, it'll work in your iPhone, too.
Believe it. I don't want to experiment with that. What if I lock up my Google number in iMessage?
Well, I know I remember... go ahead.
Sorry?
I was going to say...
I also discovered data-only SIMs. Those are cool.
What kind of SIMs?
Data-only SIMs.
Oh, yeah.
So, it just pulls out of... It pulls the data out of my main bucket, so I'm not paying another $15 to get a SIM card for my iPad.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a really nice feature. My iPad does not have LTE, so I've never tried it. But I know it supports the iPad Mini 4 and a couple of other LTE-enabled non-Android tablet. Well, basically, iPads. There's no other non-Android tablet.
What were the data networks that switches between Sprint and T-Mobile?
Sprint T-Mobile, yeah. U.S. Cellular.
Which we don't have in Hawaii, yeah.
Which we don't have.
I think U.S. Cellular sells one of the two anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I found an app that lets me switch between the networks at will.
Right.
So that is awesome.
So you're trying to stay on T-Mobile all the time, I take it.
Yes, I'm forcing it to stay on T-Mobile.
Yeah. T-Mobile is pretty darn good in Honolulu.
It is. Yeah.
The Sprint one was just bad. Right. I was getting, at one point downtown, I was getting about 4 megabits per second up and down. I'm like, that's not even, I mean, it says LTE, but I don't think that really should count as LTE.
Oh, Ricky, you're so spoiled. 4 megabits would have been heaven years ago. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, but the 4 megabits has a...
Yeah.
But there's something about the lag that's different now with the 4 megabits we get now versus the 4 megabits we used to get. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because when you get 4 megabits now, that means the network is completely congested.
Right. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because in the old days, when you got 4 megabits in your phone, you're still getting 3 megabits on your cable at home. And now you're getting like 100 or more on your cable or fiber at home. And when you see 4 megabits, you go, oh, the world is ending.
Okay. All right. Good. I guess. I'm not admitting, but yes, you might be right.
Okay.
Now, my last little hack is I found out those mobile hotspots that you can get from T-Mobile for about $80.
Yeah.
First of all, they come unlocked. And you can slip in those data-only SIM cards from Fi, and you have a mobile hotspot that also pulls out of your data thing.
Google
so
Fi? That's pretty cool.
So my $30 a month I've got on three different devices.
Yeah, and you know I've rarely gone over my 1 gigabyte self-imposed quota, but which doesn't matter, right? Because you know they don't charge you like an arm and a leg more; they just charge you the same $10 per gigabyte or a fraction of it.
You don't go over 1 gig? You don't go over 1 gig?
Rarely on my Google Fi phone.
No, I'm asking you. That's crazy. That's so little.
I know.
Because I guess because you jump onto Wi-Fi a lot, yeah?
Yeah, I'm usually on Wi-Fi, so it's not a big deal. Even when I'm, but you know, I have to, and even when I'm traveling, even when I was overseas, I really didn't use that much data. It was really surprising. Yeah, I had enough Wi-Fi when I was overseas also. And by overseas, you know, it's not like I went all over the place. I went to England and Scotland last year, but so it wasn't a whole lot of places. And it was, you know, very civilized places, except for the Isle of Skye, which didn't have a lot of data, but they'd have Wi-Fi, so that was fine.
Yeah, that'll be an experiment for me next month. I'm going into the middle of rural Philippines, so we'll see.
Well, you might be surprised. Because isn't Philippines like a, I mean, I remember they were doing like lots of, well, this is pre-data, but they were doing a lot of text messaging and stuff a lot, way before the U.S.
This is true, and on that speed test chart, they are above the U.S. in mobile data.
How sad is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they are, you know, like 45 other countries are above us, so I guess not too surprising. Well, we got to get you back after you come back from the Philippines and tell us what the data situation, the wireless data situation, like when you were there.
Sure.
Okay, I wanted to get to some of the stuff that Ryan had on our list for last week when he was when life happened and he had other stuff to do, unfortunately. But so, Ryan, you and Ricky are both on iOS beta, and you know, Ricky had a couple of comments last week. What's your take on the current iOS beta release?
Well, first of all, I'm in a Starbucks and we've decided to start blending something, so that's, I apologize for that.
It's no big deal.
Hey, you know, I always go on the betas and I always curse and scream and swear, but I also know that I deserve it. I asked for it. So that's how it goes. I mean, even my kids know that when I go, oh my God, it crashed again. They're like, what did you expect? I mean, they're very well trained as well. I just like it. I just like living on the edge like that. What can I say?
But
I like a lot of the features. Yeah. I mean, and I think that that's what makes it fun to play with.
Yeah.
But as I think Ricky had mentioned as well, the problem with the betas is that it doesn't start bad and get progressively worse. It just goes all over the place. So you have a bad release and suddenly your phone won't even turn off, let alone do anything else. And then they fix it with the next one and you think, okay, that's the worst it's going to get. And then the next one they release, your power button stops working again. So you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah. So I think we're on beta 5 right now. Right, that just came out?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, for me, the nicest fix they've had in beta 5 is all my hardware buttons work again. Because on beta 4, after a while, all the buttons would stop working.
Yikes.
I couldn't wake it up at all. I'd have to wait for the device to power off on its own just because it ran out of power and then started up again.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was a memory leak and eventually stuff would stop being responsive. And I found during those periods that it would be easier for me just to hard turn off the phone and reboot it than wait for it to come back to life. But come
that didn't even work for me.
Well, you want to know, you know what's even worse is that, of course, with the iPhone 7, the most recent one, it isn't even really a button. The home button is just, you know, it's an imaginary button.
That's
so
right.
When it stops working, it's just completely confusing.
Right. Yeah, the iPhone 7 has a non-mechanical button that just looks like a button. It's a force feedback. It's a mini touchpad, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like the new notifications. I like the new App Store. I like the I just did my first long exposure photo because, you know, it does live video when you do a live photo where it just records the video for like a second and a half.
Yeah.
And now it compresses that into a long exposure photographs. So I took a picture of a fountain, and of course, all of the water in the fountain was soft and flowing and beautiful.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The other day, I took a because I'm using the beta on my iPad, and I tried the HDR. Supposedly, the HDR is different this time around.
So different as in good? Because it's terrible.
So it was on some photography site that they said that the HDR is different. So I tried it. I tried it on the sunset. I was impressed with it. It's not quite as good as the Pixel, but it'll do.
Yeah, I was going to say HDR on Android. I've got the old Nexus 6, not the 6P. I've got the old, and HDR on it makes a difference to me, a qualitative difference that I prefer. But when HDR, I don't ever use HDR on the iPhone 7 Plus because it, to me, it's just, I don't even see the difference. It's not a
value. I think that the standard computational photography does a good enough job that the HDR, if anything, it makes it look more artificial.
Yeah.
Just let the camera do what it's supposed to do.
On the other hand, portrait mode on iPhone 7 Plus blows me away every time I use it.
It's beautiful. Yep. It's so nice.
It is awesome. Okay, and your next item, Ryan, is iPhone Pro. What's an iPhone Pro? I haven't even heard that rumor.
Well, my good Apple friend Wayne here and I like to argue a lot about Apple and imaginary announcements that Apple doesn't make and then imaginary announcements Apple cancels or is delaying, even though Apple hasn't actually said anything, because, you know, what else are we going to do all summer? But what I've been enjoying is the discussion over whether you're going to get a 7S and a 7S Plus, as well as this new Jesus God 8, iPhone 8 that's coming out. And I was one of the people who said, you're just going to get the 7S and the 7S Plus, because that's what Apple has done for the last 8 iPhones.
Right.
But the theory that is being floated now is that they're going to do what they've done with the MacBook and with the iPad and take away the number. And now it starts to make sense that the next iPhone after the iPhone 7 will just be the iPhone. The next iPhone after the iPhone 7 Plus will be the iPhone Plus. And then you can call this new Hallelujah Magic iPhone the iPhone Pro. So if you go to a world where it's just iPhone, iPhone Plus, and iPhone Pro, I can almost say it makes sense to have 3 phones released in 1 year.
Yeah. I buy that logic. I just don't like losing the number. It makes it really hard to talk about phones and generations. Remember when the iPad that came after the iPad 2 was just called the iPad? The new iPad with no number?
Yeah. And now they still have a new iPad that's an iPad with no number.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least the iPad Air, and there's iPad Air 2.
And then the Pro.
And then the Pro. Well, there's a 9.7 and a 10.5. I don't know about 12.7. Is the 12.7 have two versions?
That's a Pro.
Two generations?
Oh, no, I don't think
Okay, so they haven't had to deal with that issue yet, two generations of the big iPad Pro.
But you know what? I think you can live without the number because you do that with cars. You know that it's the 2017 Toyota Tacoma versus the 2016. Yeah. And when you're talking about your iPad, that's what you say. Oh, this is a 2016 iPad Air.
Yeah, and then it leads to the conversation of, wait, oh, is that the one that has the new feature? No, that's the previous year. My year has the one with the more rounded edges.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you talk to car geeks, and they will be able to say, hey, look, I know that's in 2006 because the headlights have the cowls that are a little more chrome.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, Microsoft got rid of the numbers from the Surface Pro also. The newest Surface Pro that came after 4 is just the Surface Pro now.
You know, as much as I love, yeah, but as much as I love Microsoft, you know, they can't count. I mean, remember Windows 8
how that numbering and 10? Went?
Yeah.
Well, they also went from Windows. Well, let me see if I can remember this correctly. Now they went from Windows 95 to Windows.
Yep.
XP?
97.
Yeah.
No, that was not 97. It was 95, 98.
98, 98 SE.
98.
ME, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
ME.
The worst.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they can't count. You're right.
Yeah, they can't count. So it might be better they just got rid of the numbers.
Yeah, it's confusing for them. Yeah, they can only count into billions of dollars. And okay, so if Apple is true to form, we should be hearing some kind of announcement in September, October, right, for the new iPhone? Yeah,
right, late September.
I'm not sure about the iPad. I mean, the iPhone Pro name. I could see an iPhone Anniversary Edition because they had a Mac and a 20th That's anniversary.
Cool. Yeah, the 20th anniversary Mac, which was also a design disaster. But we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
No, but it was in Batman, so it was awesome.
Was it in Batman?
Yeah, that was Alfred's computer.
Why didn't you know
that?
Well,
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Just didn't work well.
I will say one thing, though. I think, and I'm the only one who thinks this, anything with a name, any touch device with the name Pro should support the Apple Pencil.
That's interesting. Well, then I'd like to see
I would
that
agree
on
with
the phone.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, put it on the phone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure a pencil would make sense on an iPhone, But I just, it just happens to, you know, that to me, that's a differentiator, right, between the various iPads. If it has Pro on it, it supports the Pencil. If it doesn't, it doesn't support the Pencil.
It's, yeah, my coworker has the Samsung 8, and he pulls out that pen all the time. I think he does it just to show off, but he pulls out that pen all the time.
You know, and I say that, but, you know, as a former Pocket PC and Windows Phone user, well, maybe not Windows Phone, but a Pocket PC user, the Pocket PC Phone Edition, they all use the stylus, so
yeah.
What am I complaining about? Yeah.
Hey, the Newton had a stylus.
Hey, I like the Newton. Yeah.
I had a I had two Newtons.
I still have
my Newton. I had a Newton, too. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
I still have my Newton. I think I have the Message Pad 120, the second gen. But at any rate.
Yeah, I had that. I had the 120, and then years later, I got the 2100, the final edition.
Oh, that's not the clamshell one, right? That's not the
No.
That laptop-looking thing.
It was the last one before the project got canceled, and I only bought it because it was the last one.
Wow, you're hardcore. You're hardcore. Okay, the next, you know, Ryan, the next topic is really interesting to me because I am still using a first generation Moto 360 smartwatch, you know, that works with my
Android.
That's
impressive. That's impressive. Yeah, they were the first out of the gate with something like that.
And I liked it because it was round. I mean, I know that's stupid, but I've just never had a non-round watch. I'm trying kind of thinking back if that's true. I think that's true. I don't think I've ever had it. Or if I did, I didn't like my non-round watches. My previous.
You didn't have a Casio data bank?
Nope.
You've never had a calculator watch? Really?
Nope. I had a Suntu. I had the old Microsoft Spot watch, which are round.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had two Suntus. I don't know. I didn't have a data watch. I did have a Timex. I did buy the Timex that could. Okay, you guys might remember this. It could read some kind of flashes or barcode on your CRT to transfer data to it. I don't know if you remember that one, but that
sounds familiar. But I can't.
It never worked, by the way. It never worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I still have the first gen Moto 360, still working fine. And I just trying to figure out what to do next. Also, I need to figure out what to do with my Fitbit because I still have the old Fitbit One. You know, the one that you put in your pocket or you clip on your belt, yeah. Not the one. And its battery is kind of going bad, so I'm debating what to do. If I'd buy another one, I don't want to buy another. I don't want to wear two wristwatches, so I don't want to get a Fitbit, you know, banned. So I need to figure out what to do. Anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan,
I bought a Fitbit.
Timex Datalink. That was it.
Datalink. Yep. That was the one.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. What's this about an Apple Watch 4? Aren't we only on the second watch? I mean,
Me personally?
I mean, isn't the current generation only the second generation of Apple Watch?
Well, it depends on when you start counting. So the first one that came out is the Series 0, or was retroactively called the Series 0.
Okay.
That's what I'm wearing now. And then when they released the update to that, it was the... they created the Series 1 and then the Series 2. So technically, that's three total models. So they're saying that what you're going to get is the fourth generation. Now, the primary rumor about the fourth generation is that, in addition to looking slightly different, is that it's going to have its own data connection. And actually, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to buy another $9 a month plan to connect my watch to my
data plan.
Yeah. So if that's the big advancement, I will just happily just go to the Series 2 because my Series 0 makes me feel very inadequate next to my good friend Series 1.
Okay, so Ricky, I'm a gadget geek. Well, I have the, I guess it's the Series 2? Wait, no, Series 2 is waterproof and...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a Series 1 on my iPhone. I've got a Series 1 watch, and I also have an Android Wear watch, and... Yeah, you don't want the data service on the watches. Although I will say that Android Wear does a better job at being disconnected from its phone than the iWatch does, the Apple Watch.
Really? Why do you say that? I guess...
I don't know if it's because the apps are actual apps that are installed on the watch and are kind of sort of independent, but I can leave a phone at home and the watch is still somewhat usable. But the Apple Watch, if I leave the phone on the desk, you know, and I go downstairs to Starbucks, the thing is like, go find your phone. I can't do anything. I can't.
So I mean, I'm on the Series Zero, and I forget. I walk far away from my phone all the time, and it doesn't stop working in any way that frustrates me. I guess obviously getting messages might be difficult, but other than that, it still tells me the time, which is the primary function of the watch.
I'm not sure what it is. Because I've come from Pebble. I've come all the way from the Pebble, so I've been spoiled with my watches. So I'm not sure what it is. I like the Apple Watch the best out of all these wearable devices I've had, but there's just something about it being being more dependent on its master device than the other watches, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
Huh.
But I do ability of paying at Starbucks just by flicking my wrist.
Oh,
that's
of
cool.
course. That's like living in the future for sure. Yeah. And so, I started with the Pebble too, and I really liked, I'm still on the first series Apple Watch, and I just love it. It's still one of my favorite gadgets and things, because it is, I'm sitting in a Starbucks, and my friend Wayne always pays with his watch, and he always looks very proud of himself, and, you know, I like it too. I mean, it's the best fitness device. I mean, I used to be a Fitbit person. I went through 7 or 8
I remember that.
Washing them in the washing machine, and now at least I don't put my watch in the washing machine. So, you know, even my wife, she's not a gadget geek. She loves her Apple Watch a lot. She likes to tell me that she walks like 20 miles a week working at City Mill because her watch can tell her something like that.
Yeah. I bought a Fitbit earlier this year to replace another Fitbit. And right now, it's being used as a cable tie.
What? You're using your Fitbit as a cable tie.
I kind of needed to hold cables to something, and it was just there, and I wasn't using it anymore. So I'm like, this works for now, and it's been like 4 months since I did
that.
That's so
extremely decadent, you know.
I know. I should go get a real cable tie, but that's the thing. I have all these wearables now, and I'm not sure buying another Fitbit makes sense for people. If you already have a watch that can do it, I don't know about buying another Fitbit.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't like wearing watches. I mean, I wear a watch when I travel. I wear a watch when I, you know, go to work. But at home, I never wear a watch, like right now. On the other hand, I have my Fitbit in my left pant pocket or shirt pocket or whatever, you know, all the time. So it gets all of my steps until I go to sleep.
I used to have that same idea until I used it as a kid. No. No, I was the same way, but then at one point it's just like, well, I have to keep taking it off to charge, and I don't know, it was just easier to have one thing, even if it wasn't doing, even if it wasn't counting every single step I was doing, it was easier just to have one thing, because at one point I was doing a comparison of Fitbit step counting versus the Apple Watch step counting versus the one that was in the cell phone.
Right. And they're all different.
By about 50, 60 steps. I mean,
as long as you're using the same device for your comparison, it's the relative measurements you're looking at, not the actual number.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to the Series 4 if it's like brighter and lighter, and they say the battery life is going to be so much better, which is really the only downside, I think, to the Apple Watch. You have to charge it every day or maybe 2 days. I miss the Pebble where you can go a week.
But
if it's going to have a cellular connection, cost me 5 extra or 10 extra bucks a month and run the battery down faster, that is not something I am interested in.
Right. Now, here's something interesting, by the way. Since I do not care, you know, again, I'm at home all day today. It's Sunday today, and I haven't gone anywhere. And I also, I don't carry my iPhone around when I'm wandering around the house. So from my iPhone's point of view, I have only walked 267 steps. But my Fitbit, which has been in my pants pocket all day, you know, as I've been running around the home and cleaning up and stuff like that, you know, I've got 5,500 steps. So, you know, and that's what I want to capture, just kind of my everyday wandering around step count.
But it's a matter of habit. It's your habit to have that in your pocket all the time.
Exactly.
And so now it's my habit to have my watch on. In fact, I came out to come to the Starbucks, and I went back to my house because I was like, oh, I forgot my watch.
Yeah.
When I first got the Apple Watch, I was like, I never wore a watch ever since you could tell the time on your phone. So it took a while to train myself to have my watch, but now I notice it when it's not there.
Okay. Now, my last question for Ryan, at least, that I can think of is, I know Ricky bought an iPad Pro. What did you decide to do, Ryan? Did you go with the iPad Pro, or are you staying with your whatever it is you're using? Or are you not an iPad user?
I'm not an iPad user since the iPad 2, but my Apple idol Wayne here is a iPad fanatic. And what's funny is I want a Pro, but he's trying to get me to buy his old iPad so he can buy a Pro. I don't know if it's going to work out. I definitely want the new 9.7-inch iPad Pro. I think that the
10.5-inch.
10.5-inch.
Yeah.
I think the 12-inch one is just ridiculous. It looks like a McDonald's tray. I can't talk myself into that. But the 10.5 looks so good. It's so beautiful. The response rate is just magical. I really want one.
Yeah,
Ryan, all I can say is, you know how much of an Android person I am, and I go to sleep with the iPad Pro. That's the thing I'm using to read in bed.
I was shocked when I heard Ricky say that last week, because he was giving such bad mouthing to his MacBook when he did his 30-day test, and he wasn't happy with the iPhone. And then he says he loves his iPad Pro, and I said, what? What is this?
And I still stand by that. That was a horrible month.
I think that the iPad is the future of computing, or can be the future of computing for some users. I think that the post-laptop world will probably look like the iPad Pro. So I'm excited. I think I would be a Ricky too, but of course I love my Mac hardware as well.
Right.
No, I agree with that. iOS 11 on the iPad makes the iPad more functional. That's the reason why I stuck to using the beta on the iPad, because iOS 10 still feels like a mobile operating system, but there's something slightly different in 11 that lets you alt-tab, lets you have better multitasking, that makes the iPad feel more like a computer than a phone, a big phone.
That's amazing. Yeah, the primary reason why I want to get the iPad Pro is because iOS 11 is out there. I want to play with it. It looks so good.
Well, see, now you guys make me want to try the beta. I have two iPad Pros. I have the 9.7 and the 10.5, so I guess I could sacrifice the 9.7, although I don't want to.
Wait, I was decadent for using a Fitbit for a cable tie, and you have two iPad Pros.
But I'm not using it as a cable tie.
Okay.
Are you using both of your iPad Pros?
I am.
Wow. What do you do with two iPad Pros?
When the battery runs down on one, I use the other one.
I see. Okay.
Well, that's actually the truth, because this past week I was really ill. I mean, not like deathly ill or anything, but I was sick at home. And quite frankly, the first couple of days I was sick at home, I couldn't even open my eyes to use an iPad Pro. But as I got slightly better, you know, that iPad Pro would be on, and then I'd pop it on and check my email and respond to email and do some work and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm at home, right? So I'm just using it all day. And it's, well, the battery's dying. I'll go pop the other iPad Pro up now and use that. Or if I needed to do some heavy lifting, I'd open up the Samsung Chromebook Plus, which, you know, has a really nice keyboard.
Well, but now that you're feeling better, you want to sell an iPad Pro?
No. Now, you wouldn't want my old one. It's only got 32 gigs of RAM of storage.
I never get the upgraded one. I'm a cloud living dude.
Oh.
You know what? I started with the 32 gig. 64 gig. That's the smallest one on the iPad Pro, current iPad Pro. And I returned it to get the 256 with cellular.
Yeah.
Because you can actually use it more as a work device, that smaller memory limit, I kept hitting it. I mean, I kept loading. I'm pulling files off my Mavic to edit on the iPad, right?
Right.
And I kept running out of space. So
yeah, I can see
256
that.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I would love to edit video on an iPad Pro, and I can see why you would need the space for that.
Right.
Yeah. And for me, of course, it's my all-important daily doodles that was taking up space, so I had to move from my...
your pepper sketches?
Yeah, I had to move from my 32 gigabyte storage to 256 also. And of course, the side effect was as I mentioned it to Ryan the last time he was on, I think, is the difference between the using Apple Pencil on the already awesome first generation iPad Pro 9.7, which was great, became even more great on the 10.5, and I didn't quite expect that.
Yeah, it's that refresh rate. It's like it's invisible.
Yeah.
100% agree. Because I used to have an Asus Android tablet that had a pen, and the difference is night and day. The tracking speed and the accuracy.
Yeah, and I've tried other, insane. You know, like the Samsung Chromebook Plus has a pressure sensitive stylus, and I tried drawing with that, and it's okay, but it's not a great experience like the Apple Pencil. I also bought the Pencil by 53 Bluetooth pencil, and it's actually, I don't like it at all, because it's like holding a child's, you know, giant crayon and trying to draw. It's just physically large. And I tried some capacitive brush. Actually, I bought one that looks like a brush, which is kind of fun to use, but it's not the same. Apple Pencil's still the best for drawing.
I would say it's... Oh, wow. This is going to be... I find it as accurate as the old Palm Pilot stylus.
I'm not sure how to take that.
That's not a very high standard.
To me, the Palm Pilot styluses, they were the best because, I mean, yes, you had to write in that specific script.
Right.
But they tracked properly, and once you learn how to write in that alphabet, your error rate was really low.
Right.
And nothing really competed with that ever since. But now this iPad Pro Pencil, it's as good as that.
It's amazing. Yeah. One tip, although I haven't, and this is a pun, I guess, I have not worn out the tip on the iPad, on the Apple Pencil yet. I've been using it every day since January 1st. But I did buy a 4-pack of replacement tips for that day when I wore it out. So.
Well, okay. Nobody's seen the rant yet. I haven't posted it, but you know the fact that you can lose the cap for the charger part of the pencil?
Yes.
That's dumb.
I have not lost it yet, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and the fact that I had to buy another little... It's not a dongle. I don't know what you call it. A little rubber thingy so that I don't lose the cap is just... This is dumb. That's my one complaint. Like, this is dumb. There could have been a better way to do this.
Oh, there are 100 better ways to do it. They just didn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So, is anybody in dire danger there?
Where I live, I'm between Queens and Kuakini and St. Francis. So
ambulance runs.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in ambulance central.
Okay, just want to make sure nobody was on fire since I heard those sirens in the background. Okay, anyhow, so that was MobileViews Podcast 217. Ricky Lee, Ryan Ozawa, you guys have anything to say that isn't on our show notes that we want to talk about?
It was great to come back on the show, Todd. Thanks.
It was great to have you,
Ryan. This was great.
Yeah, thank you, Ricky. Thanks for making time. Next week, I think John is back, but even when he is back, we'll have Ricky and Ryan and Paul and a whole bunch of other folks on. Thanks for everybody for putting up with my nasally sound. I'm still kind of sick, but not as sick as I was last week. Actually, if you listen to Comics News, when I was recording with Jay Stone last night, I was still really coughing a lot, so... Sorry for annoying because my mute button on the mute button on the blue Yeti is not the way I
can. Yeah, I don't know how it works.
You have to press it really hard. And then it starts
blinking. Well, I did have a follow up. I did get a couple of people who emailed me about HoloLens, so that was good. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's finally getting to the East Coast.
Awesome.
I was stuck on the West Coast for a long time. I've been stuck in the West Coast for about a year because everyone I know apparently lives only on the West Coast. I didn't know anyone past Vegas.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so finally getting to the East Coast again. So awesome.
All right. And I did look at a lot of those photos, especially the ones from the oil rig and stuff, and that was amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing what local people get up to when they're not on the island.
Yep. All right, folks, thanks again to my friends on this part two of our All Hawaii panel, and we will talk to you next time.
Aloha.
Bye.